G'day, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
If I'm honest, it was, oh no, can't do that. But, you know, it might have been something like, God doesn't talk to me. Or it could be something like, don't we just need to get saved and then we follow him, we follow the instruction book? Isn't that what we do? What's this seek thing about? It's so easy to have all these things come into our head when we're challenged by something that we don't mean to. It's not like, I'm not going to seek God. It's just that automatically these barriers come up and we go, I don't know what that is, and that's too scary, and that's not for me, or whatever it might be. You know, for me it was that's too hard. When I try and pray, my mind goes everywhere. I can't seek God. I can keep it focused on the things I'm supposed to be doing, but seeking God seems a little bit more random. Like that just feels a little bit impossible for me. So we put up these barriers. But more than anything else, God longs for us to seek him. He loves that. In the book of Acts, in chapter 17, Paul is speaking to the people of Athens. And they're not Jews. These are people that have multiple gods that they worship. And he's speaking to them and he's saying, you know, God had a purpose all along. Had a purpose that people would seek him. That they were to feel their way towards him and that they would find him. And that's Paul's opening that invitation for everyone. It wasn't just for the people of Athens there. It was an open invitation to absolutely anyone in the world. That the God's purpose was for everyone, anyone, to be able to seek him and to find him. And so when we think about all the people in the world, that's quite a lot of people. And that's a really, really broad range of people and personalities and characteristics and abilities to seek. So if God is saying that I'm inviting anyone to seek me, he must be making it possible for absolutely anyone to do that. He's bringing it down to the bare minimum that it's possible for us to seek him and it's possible for us to find him. No one is left out. God doesn't leave people out. He opens the invitation for anyone. And you can think about all the range of people that you know. And yes, it's for anyone, no matter what their ability, no matter what their character, anyone can seek God and can find him. Because Paul showed that God's not far away, that it's in him, it's in God, that we live and we move and exist, all of us. If it wasn't for God, whether we know him or not, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be here. It's in him that we live and we move and we exist. So therefore, it's possible to find him, whether or not we've found him yet. So then I think, well, if it's God invites us to seek him and it's possible to find him, what am I looking for? What is it to find God? What does it look like? Or what am I hoping to find? Like, have I got a picture in my head, or is it just a complete blank? I don't know what that means. I don't know what it means to find God. So when I'm seeking, how do I know I've got there? Well, today I have good news. It's possible. Today you can seek him and you can find him. Today you are able to leave this building knowing that you have found him. Everyone, every one of us, get rid of that doubt, even you. Because all of us, it's not just those crazy ones up on the mountain, okay? Forget that. Because all of us can actually be the crazy ones. And I'm not saying crazy that you got to look loopy. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying that it's a choice. All of us can choose today that we will seek him and we will find him. Let's open our Bibles. That's a good idea. I'm excited by this psalm. Psalm 42 and 43, two psalms, but they kind of go together. And you'll see why in a minute. Open up your Bibles, paper ones, app ones. It's also going to be on the screen if you want to follow there. But we're going to read through these two psalms. Get excited. Okay, it says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I come and stand before him? Day and night I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshippers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks. It was a sound of a great celebration. Why am I discouraged? Why so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I'm deeply discouraged. But I will remember your kindness from Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar. I hear the, can't say that word, tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. Through each day, the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night, I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. Oh God, my rock, I cry, why have you forsaken me? Why must I wander in darkness, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts pierce me like a fatal wound. They scoff, where is this God of yours? Why am I discouraged? Why so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Oh God, take up my cause. Defend me against these ungodly people. Rescue me from these unjust liars, for you are God, my only safe haven. Why have you tossed me aside? Why must I wander around in darkness, oppressed by my enemies? Send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them lead me to your holy mountain, to the place where you live. There I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of all my joy. I will praise you with my harp, O God, my God. Why am I discouraged? Why so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Wow, what an amazing psalm. What an amazing description of us. Do you ever get in that space where one moment just you know you're hungry, you're wanting God, and then it's just so much. It's so discouraging. Life is so disappointing and hard, and it's like your mind is playing tricks on you. And then the next minute you're praising him and you're remembering the good times and you're thinking all these incredible things, and then you're back. And it's, but you just think, if I remember that, why do I just get discouraged? The psalmist goes through all these emotions and more. It's kind of like he sweeps through our life and the ups and the downs and the roundabouts, and he's just placed it all in these psalms. And he is discouraged. He's had amazing experiences, like walking among those crowds of people, worshiping, leading the great procession. Yes, leading it. Full of celebration and just feeling close to God. But then the next minute he's wandering in darkness. Like, how can someone who's been at those heights then suddenly be wandering in darkness? How can they be wandering and being oppressed by enemies, feeling the taunts and the question, like, is God real? Like, are those taunts, are they real enemies? Are they, you know, people with swords, that sort of thing? Or are they enemies and thoughts? Is the enemy the thought in the head? That thought going, like, this faith of yours, is it, you know, is it just a joke? Is it really real? Is that God really there? Can you actually seek him and find him? Are they the taunts and the thoughts? But even though there's this desire after God, this, you know, it talks about this panting for God. Even though there's that desire, is it real? But you know, no matter what's going on externally or internally, no matter if those battles are real and, you know, got physical substance to them, or if they're emotional or mental ones that are going around in our head, what excites me about this psalm is that three times across this psalm, he writes, "Why am I discouraged? Why so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. A choice is made to praise God." A choice. It's like he puts his foot down and he says, "I am going to worship and honor my God." Like in that song we sang before, in the second song, it says, "I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. It doesn't matter the storm that's going on. I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm, and it's going to go louder and it's going louder, and you're going to hear my praises roar, Lord God." This is what the psalmist is saying. I will worship. I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Even though right now I don't feel it, I'm actually feeling quite discouraged. I'm actually feeling quite sad. And then the best part of this psalm is that by making this choice, by choosing to praise God, he actually finds God. Like, really. He says it's the choice to live by the promises and the truth in the Bible. Like, he chooses to that. He chooses the light and the truth of this book. He says, I choose this. I'm going to live by this. Not what I feel. I'm choosing to live by this. And then he chooses to believe it. He chooses to ignore the voices that kind of question, oh, is it really possible? You know, really? Because no, I'm choosing to be led by your holy, you know, to your holy mountain. I'm choosing to go there. And then he chooses praise and worship. And in that choice, it actually brings him to the mountain of God, the altar of God, the source, like the actual source of his joy. Not just a feeling of it, but the source of it, where it comes from. Like God, he finds him, the source of his joy. And it's come through praise. The psalmist has made a choice to seek God and has found him. There's a walk in the Warrumbungles National Park, which is up near Coonabarabran. And I really like this walk. I've been there on multiple occasions. I've been there as a young girl. I've been there as a teenager with friends. I've been there when my first holiday with Jess' family. I've been there with my family, you know, with my kids and extended family and things like that. And there's this track that meanders along the river, and it's beautiful. When I read this psalm, it was this that came to mind for me. And I pictured this track, and it kind of, it's this beautiful little point where it just wanders along, and the river is just got little big, you know, pools at different intervals, and they're cool and they're inviting. And the track kind of weaves through these really tall spear grass. Some of them got two heads, and sometimes I want to go and stick eyes on them. They look like they're Muppets. And, you know, you come around the corner and there's another little Muppet there looking at you. And it's it just has this feeling of peace and calmness and quietness. And as you wander along, you can almost forget that the river's there. It's bubbling away and the track is easy and you can chat away, and it's a really inviting space. But you always can feel the effect of the river. There's a breeze that might come off, or you can hear the sounds of it, or you can see that the grass is greener here. It's more lush and inviting. But then the track, it changes. It's going up. You know, this is going up to a thing called the Bread Knife and Mount Bluff and these tall, high places. And so the track is going up, and it becomes rockier and harder and drier. You know that the river's down there. You're taking a detour away from it, but you know it's there. You just can't always see it. Once, when I was in high school, I did this walk with a friend of mine, and we went along with our dads, and it was a three-day hike. And we got to the third night, and when we arrived at our campsite, it was on one of the spurs, and so it was up high and dry, and we'd run out of water. So the dad sent us to scramble down the side of the spur to find a creek, to find some water so we could fill up our containers and cook our dinner and have our cup of tea and things like that. And we're having to scramble through the shrubs. It wasn't on a track. We're just kind of pushing our way through and trying to find some water and, you know, a nice little running bit that we can fill up. And we did. We found this. It wasn't much. It was just a trickle. But it was water. We could fill up our containers and we could be refreshed by it. It didn't matter that it wasn't the big river. That would have been a long walk. It was just a trickle. But it still had the same effect. It still had the same effect of refreshing us and giving us, you know, life again. You know, you think of rivers and streams, and they come in all forms and shapes and widths. And if you think of the Blue Mountains at the moment, there's been some photos on the internet of the gushing over the cliffs, this incredible outpouring of that rain, the inundation of water that has come down, and it's this overflow of abundance. And it just makes your spirit lift in joy that there's so much water can be pouring into those rivers. And then I think also a time that Jeff took a group of students up to find the source of the Macquarie River, to follow it and travel up into Black Springs. And then eventually it led them into this high swampy area that just had these little kind of springs just seeping into the swamp. Nothing spectacular, nothing particularly exciting about it. But that is the source of the flow that Now, where's it end up? Adelaide? How bizarre is that? You know, that this little seep that starts in Black Springs would just travel the whole way out through our state and in down to Adelaide. I think when I think of all those aspects of rivers and waterfalls and things, it reminds me very much of our seeking for God. All these descriptions so easily adapt to descriptions and circumstances and times when we have sought God or we can seek God. One day when you seek God, might be when you get saved, it could be another point, but one day when you seek God, it might be like this waterfall suddenly inundates you. It just crashes over you and you are just feeling this unbelievable abundance of his presence and his love and his goodness. But as you have entered into that space of praise and worship, you break through something and you're overwhelmed and it's an incredible feeling and you feel like you're on top of the world. But then you wake up the next day and you praise and worship him, but it's more like you're kind of pushing through the scrub and you're just trying to, you can't see it. You're feeling your way and you're pushing through and getting prickled, and then you find it. But it's not the waterfall, it's just a trickle. But that trickle also has the life of God in it. That trickle is also God. It brings a refreshment. It brings a relief. Found it. A peace. An assurance. Assurance it'll be okay. A lot of the time when we seek God, we find that we're just actually unaware. We wake up or we come to church, we put on some music and we make a choice to worship him, to praise him, and it's like we start going through those actions. But we're kind of actually unaware. And as we open our eyes in that sense of praise, when we're actually not just doing the praise, but actually letting the praise come out of us, that it's actually to him, not just a song we're singing or words actually directed at him, that it's like we're turning our eyes and we're seeing that river and we're noticing that suddenly, hang on, this strength is starting to flow into me. That even though I've had this shocking week, and even though it's another hard one ahead, suddenly, because I have directed this worship to him and honored him, something has come into me, which is not me. I don't have that strength. That's God. Suddenly, in that seeking, you found him. Or it could be that you've had this difficulty with a person and it's just a hard situation. You're fearful of seeing them again. You don't know how you're going to react, whether it's, you know, silent treatment or you're going to be angry or you're just going to be tongue-tied, but it's this situation and you don't know what to do with it. And suddenly as you just open up and you worship him and you honor him, something shifts and you feel like it's almost this deposit of God words. You don't know what they are yet, but you know they're going to come out at the right time, in the right way. That's God. You've sought him. You've found him. You know, there's all sorts of different things, different circumstances that you can apply that to. That shift from when you start to praise him and you worship him, and then suddenly the feelings are not yours anymore. The fear, the anxiety, is changed. It may only be a trickle. There may be only the slightest little inkling that you have strength. Only the slightest little thought that'll be okay. But even in the smallest bit of that, that's God. You found him. He shifted something. Just a bit. Also be prepared that you might have found the source and it could just be a quiet spring just seeping into you. Tweaking things, seeping in, and it starts filling up throughout the day. It wasn't a gush in, but just little by little, as you keep this walking, keep this praising, keep this seeking, that this confidence is growing and that you've discovered that you've actually, in the middle of that, met God, your God, that he is the source of your joy.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.